May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 739. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well, the native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. Hymn 739.
Open our eyes as we read from his word this evening. Two psalms, Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Firstly, Psalms 42 and 43. Psalm 42. To the chief musician, Maskil, for the sons of Korah. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now we'll turn to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, and chapter 4. 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Leave the reading of God's holy word there. And may he truly help everyone here now to pray. Almost holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Open the eyes of everyone here to see and to know a little of who we are now approaching unto in prayer. Oh, and if we are given an understanding a little of who thou art, we will have to come with Isaiah and say, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of an unclean lips. For thou art thrice holy. And Lord, if we see a little of what we are, poor, unworthy sinners, where sin has entered into every part of us, Lord, we must fall humbly at thy feet. But Lord, we can, and we can come to thee through thy dear Son, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, that mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So may we be enabled to come boldly to the throne of grace this evening. And may each and every one now be able to pour out their needs and requests before thee this night, knowing that thou art a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. So, Lord, indite real prayer unto us each. Lord, we acknowledge thy many mercies unto us. O Lord, we feel again what a privilege it is to meet for worship. Oh, what a mercy that we have been born in a land where the gospel can be readily heard. What a mercy that we have, the majority of us anyway, been born into families and have been brought up to attend the means of grace. And what a mercy that we have each to this point in time been kept to continue to attend. And what a mercy that thou hast worked in the hearts of many and art still working now. Lord, may we acknowledge and praise thee for thy goodness unto us. But in doing so and in realizing how privileged we are, may we pray, Lord, for those many families who have never heard thy word, who have never entered into a place of worship, in this land, yes, even in this village, who know nothing of the truths and the precious promises contained in thy word. Lord, may there yet be days of reviving in this land. There have been in times past, and Lord, may we yet see it again. Lord, where thou wilt truly work in the hearts of many round about us and cause them to come in and give us that grace to accept them as they are and watch and marvel at thy work in the hearts of thy people. O Lord, we have witnessed it in years past in our chapel at Heathfield, to see the marvellous way thou dost work in the hearts of men. And Lord, may we yet see those days again where those are brought in, are changed, and there is that real religion put within their hearts. But Lord, those of us that have been brought up to attend the means of grace all our lives, we cannot depend upon our heritage. We need to know eternal living realities personally. And may the prayer be now in the hearts of each, that we may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Oh, that we may not be sickly people, but that we may be growing in grace. Oh, Lord, may it be so. May we not be stagnant. May we not be standing still. For Lord, it is all thy work and work in thy people still, we beg. Lord, help us, we pray, this night, everyone. For thou knowest the pathways of everyone in providence and in grace. And if there is one, even this evening, truly burdened in prayer now, pouring their needs out before thee, through thy word, touch them, we pray, that they may not go home disappointed on this thy day. For Lord, we need those crumbs. We need that to keep us going in this wilderness here below. And it will be a wilderness to thy people. And we need nourishing and strengthening and refreshing. Lord, it is through thy word that it will be so. Lord, and may it be so tonight. Wherever we are, young or old, Lord, thou canst work. And we pray for the young people and the children here, especially this evening. We are pleased to see them out this evening. Lord, may they have an understanding of what is being preached. May we be able to preach simply to them as well, that they may understand thy word. And we would remember those who in this coming year will, if it is thy will, do examinations or are at those important crossroads and stages in their education. Lord, help them to try hard in all that they do, remembering that we are to try our best in everything. For whatever gifts thou hast given us, Lord, they are from thee. And may we be diligent in how we use them. So do be with them, and those that are homeschooled, we pray for them. And the parents that seek to educate them, give them much wisdom and help day by day, alongside the many other responsibilities that they have. And Lord, those that are educated in schools, truly be with them as well. There is much that surrounds them which is troubling, much that surrounds them that is confusing, much that surrounds them that is called good, but in thy word is evil, and much, Lord, that is evil round about them, or which is viewed as evil, Lord, and promoted as evil. Lord, we live in such sad and dark days, but give them that discernment, we pray, to see that which is according to thy word, and that grace to stand for that which is right where necessary. But Lord, we pray for our nation, a nation which promotes such abominations. O Lord, and how long will we be able to continue to boldly say from the pulpit that thy word says that there is but man and woman, there is nothing else, that there is only one right relationship, and that is between one man and one woman in a married state, that is according to thy word. Lord, and thy word changes not. The thoughts of man may do so, and they do. And Lord, do change their minds and their thoughts back to thy word, that this nation may once more be viewed as a land of the Bible, that we may look to thy word for instruction, and not the foolish, fickle, changing thoughts of men. Lord, we pray for those that have already this day met for worship, those with morning and afternoon services who have now gone home, those who may be even listening in this evening. Lord, may that which we attempt to lay before the people and those listening in may not mar that which is gone before. And we are thankful that there is this means that can be used, where when it is impossible to attend a place of worship, we can still listen in. But Lord, may these things not be abused, and may we ever seek to be in thy house to worship where we can. Lord, may it be so, for thou hast promised that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt be in the midst. And Lord, we are gathered this night, and may we prove it, that thou art in the midst. Oh, we need to feel these things in our hearts, the word applied to our souls with power from on high. We pray for the church and the congregation here. Lord, be with them still, we pray. Thou knowest their needs, thou knowest all situations, Lord, we do not. But thou knowest. And Lord, thou knowest where each one is this night. We pray that there'll be that working in hearts, that they may be brought to that point where they have to put on that open profession of their faith for thine honour and glory. And do be with those various ones that come in and out from week to week. Lord, may thy word be owned and blessed. To be with one expected on Tuesday evening, help him, and one expected next Lord's Day also. Lord, be with them. And Lord, if it be thy will, may there yet be a pastor raised up over the flock here, to shepherd them, to be over them, according to thy word, one sent from thee for the good of the people here. And Lord, may more be raised up, we pray. May more be sent forth into the ministry to feed the flocks. But there are many that are lank and few. And Lord, may they yet be building up, we pray, in Zion. We remember those that are laid aside at this time, one and another that we think of. Lord, do be with them. We pray for the wife of the deacon here, in her great affliction still, Lord, be with her. Lord, truly draw near. Lord, thou wilt be with thy people. What a comfort. But give grace to continue in this pathway for each and every one here. And we would remember also Jabez, but especially Margaret Rutt at this time. Oh Lord, help them in their situation as well. Oh Lord, what do these things mean? May they be used, we pray. Draw near and comfort thy afflicted people. But there are many others, Lord, many in great need, many that have those secret things which no one knows of, which so cast them down. Lord, we must pray for those that we know of, but may we not leave out those that we don't know. For Lord, some things to some people can seem trivial, but to others they can be great burdens. So Lord, may we be able to pray one for another and sweetly beg that thou wilt hold up thy people. Lord, as we gather this night, we pray that the word, thy word that has been read, may be used. And as we sing those hymns, Lord, may they be sung from our hearts with feeling and applied unto us. And give wisdom as the hymns are chosen week by week. For how and what a blessing it can be sometimes, just a few lines of a hymn to our souls as we worship. And Lord, we are thankful we can once again sing thy praises. We pray, O, for thy one church. We pray for thine afflicted people. We pray for those who worship this day in fear and trembling. Those lands of great fierce persecution, whether it be in parts of Africa, through the Middle East, or through to the Far East, Lord. Thy people are scattered through four corners of this earth. Lord, hold them up, we pray. And we must thank thee that thou art still working. Do be with the Trinitarian Bible Society and other organisations that seek to do such good, to spread thy word and to alleviate the needs of thy people. Lord, do be with those away at this time, seeking rest and change. Those who are unable to attend this place, this night. Lord, be with them also. But Lord, we come this evening into thine earthly courts. May we not be left to ourselves. Lord, do we pray, prepare the hearts of the people now. Oh Lord, we cannot do it, but thou canst. Soften, we pray, those hearts that are hard, and give those ears to hear. And Lord, we desire and we need to be emptied of self and pour in that we may pour out to those before us. But Lord, we need thy Spirit, thy blessed Spirit, to come and apply that word with power. May we see today and this night no man save Jesus only through thy word. For Jesus, the one thing needful art. And may we be brought to realise that. So come this night into our midst, we plead, and greatly help each and every one of us. Forgive all that we have asked amiss. That which we have forgotten to pray for, Lord, do make up in giving where we fail in our asking. And we ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 737. Gracious Lord, incline thy ear. My requests vouchsafe to hear. Hear my never-ceasing cry. Give me Christ, or else I die. Hymn 737.
complete need of the Lord to help each of us this evening, both in the pulpit and the pew. I'll draw your attention to the second psalm that we read, Psalm 43, and the last verse. Psalm 43 and verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Well, we have these two psalms that I have read to you this evening, Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. And it is thought by some that originally this was but one psalm. And we can see the reason why, can't we? For it follows through. And what is the theme throughout these psalms? The psalmist longing for God. The psalmist really singing the hymn that we have just been singing. Gracious God, incline thine ear, my requests vouchsafe to hear. Hear my never-ceasing cry, give me Christ, or else I die. And that is why the psalms are so precious to the Lord's people, because they are the songs of a man's heart. We need to see Christ. We need to hope in God. For what else, to be honest, can we hope in? But our text this evening starts with that word, why. Why art thou cast down? Why? What's the reason? If God is in control of everything, why does he see fit to cast us down? Why does he see fit to bring us into situations, whether it be troubles in family life, troubles in the churches, troubles in the lands and nations of the earth, soul trouble, sin, unbelief? Why are these things brought into our lives to cast us down? Well, we could say quite simply, it is his will. Because when we are cast down, there's only one way we can look, and that is up. And I speak for myself. When do I seek God? When do I truly desire Christ above all things? When is my cry truly, give me Christ or else I die? When I am cast down. When we are cast down. Never forget There was that woman who cried out that simple prayer, Lord, help me. She was cast down. She was in need. She was crying out, give me Christ or else I die. And what does it say that prayer was? Worship. She worshipped him saying, Lord, help me. And you say, well, that's not worship. Worship is singing and prayer and reading and sermons. No, dear friends. Worship is us in the dust and Christ lifted up. It is us acknowledging that we are nothing, looking to one that is our only hope. There are some of you here, I know, can testify of these things. The Lord will bring you into great difficulties, deep waters. You may feel that the waves and the billows are gone over you and you can't continue. What do you try? You try to sort it out yourself. You try to go to others to assist you. You try to, if you've got a health issue, go to the doctors to make you better again. And there is a hymn, and I can't think of it to quote it correctly, so I won't even try. But we will not seek help until we realise we're sick. That's why the Lord, in his wisdom, casts us down. That we may acknowledge and honour and glorify this Almighty God. But we read that chapter, didn't we, in 2 Corinthians. And we have those words there, don't we? We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's why we're troubled. We are troubled, perplexed, persecuted, cast down. Why? So that God may shine forth from us. That he may hold us up. That he may get the honour and the glory. And there are those now that we can think of in deep waters who have every reason to be troubled, to be perplexed, to be cast down. But what do we see? Hope in God. Hope in God, and what does that do? That holds us up. That ensures that we are not destroyed. That ensures that we are not distressed. That ensures that we are not in despair. Because we hope in God. All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. That is why we are cast down, that grace may shine forth, and how we see it shine forth in those that are afflicted. That grace, that it met the thanksgiving of many, may redound to the glory of God. And that's why we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, causing us to realise, and our friend prayed it in the vestry, that we might know eternal realities in our religion. That our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Those eternal realities. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And it comes to my mind just now. What is hope? You don't hope for something that is behind, do you? You can't hope for something that is history. Our hope, or all hope, is in something which is to come. And that is what the child of God looks to and sees as grace is given in our afflictions. We look not at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. The hope of eternal things. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And when we look on other people, and I am having to learn this lesson, we may be on a level up here, and someone else may be on a level down here. An affliction for the person down here, a small thing that we would view, which we may not even notice up here, is a great burden to someone else. We must never judge people by ourselves. What casts me down, you may laugh at. What casts you down, I may laugh at. But the thing is, it still casts us down. Let me try and think of a better example. Many of us view ourselves as having extraordinarily busy lives in many ways. And someone may say to you, oh, I've had a busy day today. And you look at their life and you laugh inwardly and say, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what a busy day is. But to them, it means something. For we are all on different levels. And the Lord will use one thing for one person and one thing for another. And as that saying goes, the straw that breaks the camel's back, we may not notice. But the Lord knows how to break our backs. The Lord knows how, when, and what means to use to cast us down. I think I may have quoted it this morning, the lines of that hymn. Jesus, cast a look on me, give me sweet simplicity. Cast me down and keep me low. Why? Seeking only thee to know. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And you know, may we look for a moment at what reasons there are that can cast us down. We are living in a world of tribulation, aren't we? Circumstances in our lives can cast us down. Employment, unemployment. Those of you young people who may be shortly leaving school or at that time where you are seeking employment and something doesn't work out and you become cast down. And it's a distress to us, isn't it? Those little things. They cast us down. But what about to those poor people in Afghanistan at this moment? If they were to look on what is casting us down, they would be amazed. And yet we're still cast down. Still cast down. We are living in a world of tribulation. But we have a God of sufficient grace to hold each of us up in whichever pathway he sees fit to lead us. There is that hymn a few pages over from the one we have just sung. Sons of God in tribulation, let your eyes the Saviour view. He's the rock of our salvation. He was tried and tempted too, all to succour every tempted burdened son. 'Tis if need be he reproves us, lest we settle on our lees. Yet he in the furnace loves us. 'Tis expressed in words like these. I am with thee, Israel, passing through the fire. He may bring things, the furnace of affliction, to try us, to burn away our dross, to cast us down, that we may hope once again in God. But what else casts us down? Does your sin cast you down? Does your wicked heart trouble you? Do you have, maybe if you do not feel the depth of sin that some do you feel an emptiness within? An emptiness which the world can never fill? Does that cast you down? You know that Jesus is the one thing needful. You know that you need him to be your Saviour. You know that you need your sins forgiven. You know you need to be clothed in his righteousness. And yet you cannot cease from sin. Our wicked hearts often cast us down. Often trouble us. What else can cast the soul down? That great sin, which we can probably put in a separate category of unbelief. How often that casts us down. Oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. I would but cannot, Lord, relieve. My help must come from thee. It's a real trial, isn't it? Oh, may we ever pray, Lord, increase our faith, that we may trust him more, that we may not be filled with so many doubts and fears and temptations. For we so often have to prove that creatures of fear we drag along and fear where no fear is. Cast down by our poor, unbelieving hearts. Cast down maybe because we cannot serve the Lord as we feel we should in our own little way. Cast down in so many ways. Is your prayer with that of the hymn writer? Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads us to the Lamb. Is this your cry? Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and his word? What peaceful hours I then enjoyed, how sweet their memory still, but now I find an aching void the world can never fill. The world can never fill that aching void, dear friend, can it? And you need that void to be filled. You long for that void to be filled, and that is why you are disquieted. And what fills it? Hope in God. That is what fills it. That is what the soul needs. That's what leads us out of our cast down state. That's what we have. That's what the psalmist cries in verse 3, isn't it? Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill. Give me Christ, he is saying here. Hope in God. His light and his truth. Now I can preach and preach and preach and preach. I cannot lead you. But the blessed Spirit can. He can apply these words to your heart. Whatever words they may be. And that light of his truth can enter your heart again and enable you and renew your hope in God. We are cast down. We are disquieted. Hope in God. That's what the soul needs, isn't it? The body needs food. Our bodies need food. And why does it need food? To give us energy. Our souls need food. Our souls need energy. And what is the soul's food? The promises of God's word. That's what gives us energy. The promises of God's word. But, dear friends, God's word is just a word. Unless it is applied by the power of the Holy Spirit. Unless it leads us into light and truth. So how do God's promises need digesting to give us that energy, to give us that hope? We need faith. That is what makes these promises living realities. That's what makes these promises something we can hold fast to in the day of trouble. That anchor in the storm of life. That hope through faith. For it is, as Matthew says in his gospel, it is not by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what you need tonight, isn't it? That's what you need here below. Yes, we've got bountiful cupboards full of food to supply our bodies. But we need soul food. Man shall not live by bread alone. We need a word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need hope in God. Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. What does that lovely hymn 1106 say? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, that's when we're cast down, isn't it? That's when we're disquieted. When darkness veils his lovely face. But dear soul, we can hope in God. We can hope in God. We can rest on his unchanging grace. Oh, blessed be God. That's what we can rest on. His unchanging grace. What does the hymn writer say in another hymn? My life through many changes goes. His love no variation knows. That's a hope, dear friends. That's my only hope. Because my love is up and down like a hyperactive yo-yo. Up and down, cast down, lifted up, all over the place. But this God, is immutably the same. Changes not, is a constant in this world of turmoil. Hope in God. So as we said just now, what can cast us down? Events, life circumstances. So why can we hope in God in these things? Well, God is omnipotent. May we not just use these words without explaining them. God is all powerful. May we never forget it. May we never forget it and look at his power. From the smallest created thing, you children, next time you are out in the garden, pick anything up that God has created. Turn it over in your hands, whether it be a feather or a leaf. Consider how it is created. Consider each intricate part of that created thing. And then when it is dark and the sky is clear, look up at the sky. Consider the heavens, the work of God's fingers, the moon and the stars which he has ordained. And as the Lord opens your eyes to see, you will have to come in with the psalmist in Psalm 8 and say, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" And this God that creates the smallest thing, that controls every atom, every subatomic particle, every minute thing, is in control of it all. He looks down upon you and he knows where you are going. God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. And don't be surprised. Don't be surprised, any of you, when your life seems to be taking such strange routes. I always think of Joseph in this case. Think what that man went through in his life. Where was his hope fixed? In God. Think about Joseph when he was sold by his brethren, when he was cast into that pit, when he was sold by his brethren, when he was brought into a strange land, when he was sold to Potiphar, when Potiphar's wife advanced upon him, when he was thrown into prison, when he thought he would escape from prison and didn't escape prison, then did, and then was raised up to a high place. Then his brethren came. Oh, dear friends, look at Joseph's life. When he was in the prison, I'm sure there would have been times when he was cast down. How do I know that? Well, he was a man. That's how I know that. He was a man. He would have been cast down. He would have thought, well, hang on. These things shouldn't be. But what does he say in looking back to his brothers when his father had died? As for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. And never forget that chain of events. No winding up his brothers, no putting in the pit, no being sold, no going into Potiphar's house, no prison, no being raised up from prison, no being put over the land of Egypt, no Moses. No captivity, no leading out, no Red Sea, no deliverance to the promised land. And so on, we can go through the Bible to the birth of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. But Joseph couldn't see it in those events, could he? Joseph couldn't see it. He would have been cast down, but he would have hoped in God. So, dear friends, it's easy for me to say, isn't it, and say, why are you cast down? Why are you disquieted? Hope in God. But it's not that easy, is it? It's not that easy. Because it's the Spirit's work and not our own. And these blessed promises throughout Scripture, we need them as our promises. And there are those I know who have those promises, who have those words which they can say are their words. You know, I have one or two which I have to fall back upon. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's one promise for me. But you try telling that to me on a Monday morning after preaching. Cast down, disquieted, but we have to hope in God. And you have those promises, don't you? You have those things that you can lean upon, whatever they are. Fear thou not, maybe, for I am with thee. Whatever word the Lord has given you, it's a hope for you. But you need them refreshed, renewed, your hope to be strengthened in them again. But I also mentioned, didn't I, what else casts us down? Sin. Sin. If you are cast down by your sin, dear friend, yes, you want to be delivered from that, don't you? But if you are cast down, the Lord is at work in your heart. If you are truly disquieted at the sin within you, the Lord has made you feel that sin. Believe you me, and I can only judge the outward appearance, but there are some places and some people that to an outward appearance have no trouble over sin, doesn't disquiet them, doesn't cast them down. And there's nothing harder to a minister of the gospel to see that. But in one way, it is comforting. Because I know that I was that person once. And I know that the Lord can break the hardest heart. The Lord will work and continue to work in the soul that feels its sin through the work of Christ. And if you feel a sinner tonight, who did Christ come to call? Not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And may you be enabled to hope in God, hope in the finished work of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Because what do you have to bring to him? Do you have to do anything, as it were? Do you have to rectify anything? What do you need to do? Come with nothing. Come with nothing. Naked, come to thee for dress. Naked, with nothing in our hands. Falling at his feet, begging for mercy. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. That's where the soul that is cast down with sin will be and will be brought to. Brought to realise that he can bring nothing to a precious Saviour. And then as that faith is given to you, to believe in his promises, to believe that, did he die for me? That wrath-ending sacrifice, those pierced hands, that one that cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Could that be for me? Hope in God, dear friend. Hope in God. For he came to call sinners and not the righteous. Hope in God. But our unbelief, that also casts us down, doesn't it? That also troubles us. And as I said earlier, he changes not. He changes not. Oh, my distrustful heart, how small thy faith appears. Number 340, is it? 339, oh, my distrustful heart, how small thy faith appears. But greater, Lord, thou art than all my doubts and fears. Did Jesus once upon me shine, then Jesus is forever mine. And yet that unbelief wells up within you again. But what does the hymn writer continue to say? Thou, Lord, wilt carry on and perfectly perform the work thou hast begun in me, a sinful worm. Midst all my fear and sin and woe, thy spirit will not let me go. He cannot, dear friends, he cannot forsake you. No, he cannot. Because he is immutable. He is unchangeable. The bowels of thy grace at first did freely move. I still shall see thy face and feel that God is love. My soul into thy arms I cast. I trust I shall be saved at last. Trust him, Lord. Trust him. Trust God. Trust him for his grace. Hope in God. But you say in reply to that, but my faith is so small. I sometimes feel I don't have any faith. Well, what about that man? What about that man who brought his son with that dumb spirit? What about that man? Jesus said unto that man as he brought his son to Jesus, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And what was the result of that faith? You say, well, he said believe, and yet he said he is unbelieving. Well, who's got perfect faith in this chapel tonight? Not this poor man. I will never get beyond this verse. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. But what do I know? I humbly trust. It's not the quality of my faith. It's the object of my faith. Because it is not some bubbly up faith within that we look to. It's the object of our faith that we look to. We look to Jesus Christ. We look to one that changes not. And yes, all our days we'll feel how weak our faith is. But the object of our faith is invincible, immutable, unchangeable, whatever other words you want to describe the attributes of God. Don't let the devil tempt you, dear soul, that your faith is too weak. Don't let the devil tell you that you need this, that, and the other. What do you need to do? Through the word of God, hope in God. That's what you need to do. Hope in his word, hope in his promises, hope in one that changes not. For you shall yet praise him. Who is the health of your countenance? Or as it can also be rendered, who is our salvation? Who is the salvation of my countenance and my God? Hope in God. Hope in God. Cast down, yes. Disquieted, yes. You know, as we preach, we feel our unsuitability. My hope is in God, that He will apply these things with power to your hearts. We have another week of time before us. What will be in it, we don't know. But can we come in with those last two words of our text? My God. My God. Can you say, my God? Can you say you have known Him as your God? Yes, you're now cast down, but at one point you thought He was your God. Well, He still is, because He changes not. Yes, He may lead you these 40 years in the wilderness to try you and to test you, but He will deliver you to the promised land, for that is His word. He will. He cannot fail. I seem to be in the hymn book a lot this evening, but forgive me if I am, because sometimes I feel that hymns can preach better than I can. But what about that blessed hymn number 329? How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, and we could change that to will lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. E'en down to old age, all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. There's hope, isn't there? And when hoary hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs, they shall still in my bosom be born. Yes, He will not forsake us. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to His foes, whatever those foes are, events, sin, unbelief. That soul, though all hell should endeavour to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. Why art thou cast down? I throw no stones at whatever it is this evening that is casting you down. Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. And one final point, which I will, the time is going, gone, but one last point I will try and bring out unto you. The psalmist here prays, and that is the first thing we should do when we are cast down, and we must never forsake prayer. But there is an important point that we should also do. Look within. Question ourselves. And ask ourselves that question. Why am I cast down in my soul? What is it that is disquieting me? Look back upon how good God has been to you. Yes, that will not deliver you from what you are currently in. But sometimes it can just be enough comfort to lift you lift you from being cast down to look unto him. Yes, pray. But ask yourself that question. What is it that is casting you down? Who has changed? Almighty God or you? So, hope in God. Because that's all we can hope in. May he be my God to everyone here. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Robert Field will preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. John Hart next Lord's Day. Our closing hymn is 379. Come, my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray. Therefore will not say thee nay. Hymn 379.
Thank you.
through thy word and through the work of thy Spirit. May there be one poor, cast down soul this evening who has been able to hope in God. Maybe for the first time, or maybe that strength has been renewed. Oh, may our cry be with that of the hymn writer. Every hour my strength renew. Let me live a life of faith. Let me die thy people's death. Then we will be able to say, what are these light afflictions compared to the glory to come? That's the hope for thy people. Strengthen it, Lord, we pray. Forgive, Lord, our poor attempts to worship thee today. But Lord, may thy name be given all the honour and the glory. Forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss, we beg. And be with us as spared through another week of time. Now, may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.